from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Manya and I took in a baseball game yesterday in which our youngest son Luke participated in. It was a lovely day. Warm outside, nice to see the sunshine, and there was just a glee of attitudes as all the parents and grandparents cheered on their little loved ones. Don't y'all know that's how it always is a sporting event? Nobody ever says anything critical. Nobody ever chastises the umpire or critiques their performance. Well, on this faith-filled day yesterday, one of the umpires who happened to be calling balls and strikes behind the plate was not of a very large stature. He was vertically challenged in a significant way. And as he began his calling of balls and strikes, it became quite evident to some of the older participants, maybe grandparents who had a little extra soft heart in their, or soft spot in their heart for the performance of the umpire, said, "Well, he's down there with it. He ought to be able to tell the difference between a ball and a strike." And then another quite gracious, gentle southern lady said, "Yeah, he sure doesn't have to squat too much. He ought to be able to see." Their words weren't encouraging. And isn't it tempting for all of us in the world we live in when we're faced with things not going the way we would like for them to, or the performance of those around us or the actions with which they embrace us are unappealing? It is tempting for us all to be people of criticism, right? Words that can hurt and certainly deflate those around us in a far greater way than what's being performed on a baseball field. You know, as I wrestle with this text of Scripture today, traditionally as we preached and celebrated this text in our journey of Lent, as we begin our season of remembering the sacrifice of the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ that journeyed him to the cross of Calvary, as we embrace our own sacrifices during this season of Lent, I've traditionally reflected upon what it was the tempter did wrong in our text today. But for me this morning, it's gotten a little more personal. I started looking at this text with perhaps fresh eyes and saying, it's not always about the devil made me do it, but what have I done to portray darkness in our world instead of the light of Christ? In other words, what are our words? What is our speech? When are we faced with that temptation to not be an encourager to those journeying with us in life and faith, and to be a persecutor in the spirit of the tempter? You see, the words of our Lord, as we hear in our text, are words of life. They're words of affirmation, of encouragement, where the words of the tempter today are words of criticism. May we, dear church, guard our words as we do our own integrity. May we be people of affirmation and encouragement to those who journey with us in life and faith, that we may too speak the voice of our God in heaven. Isn't that our call to faith? As Jesus, our Lord, said, I want you to be my hands and feet, church. I want you, Scripture says, to be Christ to the world around you. May we strive to embody the nature of our Lord Jesus in this text, and not the nature of the tempter, who's always critical, ready to accuse, and lack of affirmation for those who we share life's journey with. You know what I'm also intrigued specifically with this text today? A way of interpreting this text that I've never realized before. It begins with us by saying in verse 1 that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Boy, I find that troubling. I don't know about you all. I really want to help the gospel writer Matthew out here, don't you? I would prefer that it not say that, Becky, that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I would prefer that the gospel writer Matthew had said this: Jesus was led by the Spirit as he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. But that's not what the writer says. He said the Spirit led him into the wilderness. The Spirit led him into temptation. Matthew, how can there be hope? How could the Holy Spirit above cast upon Jesus, and if we want to make it more personal, cast upon us temptations? Why would God allow us to go through such? But it gets worse from there. It doesn't get better. As I researched the Greek in this passage today, I found that not only does that phrase say that the Spirit led him into the wilderness, but it uses this word. The phrase most accurately interpreted in the Greek says that Jesus was led up to a higher place in the wilderness. Now help me how. What is Matthew saying? Maybe he's just speaking of a climb in elevation when he says that Jesus went out, as those of us who've been near the Jordan River and journeyed into the Judean wilderness know that there is an elevation change. Perhaps that's what Matthew is saying. But you know what I'm haunted by today? Is the fact that maybe Matthew is saying that the fact that Jesus went through this temptation led him to a higher place spiritually and in his relationship with his Father above. Could it be that that is a message in this text for us today? That when we are faced, friends, with adversities in life, when we're faced with challenges in our employment, our career, church family, personal family, when we are under attack by the world, that in actuality, that's an opportunity for us to grow more intimately in our walk with our Heavenly Father. Wow. it's not fun. Sharon, it's not fun to go through trials and tribulations and to be tempted. All of us know that Jesus was persecuted in his journey in this text today, but the scripture tells us, and this is what I embrace, church, not only did the Spirit lead him into the wilderness, but receive this with me, the Spirit remained with Jesus in the wilderness. I'm ready. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to face, Ken, whatever this world gives me. Whatever the tempter places upon me, Kenny, I'm ready if the Holy Spirit above will strengthen me and journey with me in comfort and resign in my spirit whatever persecution that I face. I guess the words reside, not resign. You see, the gift of this text today tells us that just as the angels waited upon Jesus after the tempter had left, the Spirit above never deserted our Lord during his time of trial and tribulation. Isn't that the same promise we receive? You heard how Barry read it this morning. As Paul wrote about our journey of life in Christ, he said, just as one person sinned and we knew death through Adam's existence, one person conquered death through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that we all may be children of the Lord. Wow. You see, we have the same inheritance. We have the same promise as Jesus Christ, who in his temptation was comforted. Friends, our God journeys with us no matter what we face as well. This week I had the opportunity to attend a breakfast meeting with various civic and faith leaders in the city of Memphis. And the keynote speaker at this event was a Catholic priest named Father Gregory Boyle. Some of you may have heard of Father Gregory's ministry. In fact, they don't call him Father Gregory Boyle, PhD. They call him Father G. And the name of Father G's ministry is Homeboy Industry. He's a 65-year-old white man who looks a lot like Santa Claus with his beard and his, well, less than full head of hair. But Dr. Father G. Gregory Boyle has the largest inner-city gang ministry in the United States of America, serving in Los Angeles, California. Too many who look differently from him and certainly have a different journey of faith and life. And Father G, as he spoke to our group that was assembled this week, he said, you all know that this is the first day of Lent. It was on Wednesday. He said, and as I begin my Lenten journey, I always think about a story that one of our home girls told me once. It's not all home boys, you see. They have a few home girls, too, in the gang ministries. He said she came in rather angry one day and said, well, it's official. My man's been cheating on me. And I've done decided I'm going to give his aspirin up for Lent. And she didn't say aspirin, no. She had determined what she was giving up for Lent. Friends, in Lent, we are called to embrace the sacrifice of our Lord, to consider what we want to give up, what we need less of, right? So we can make more room for God in our life to strengthen us for our journey, not only to Easter, but to be more faith-filled representatives of Christ in our world. You see, Lent is indeed not only about giving up, but it's about embracing more the nature of Christ. Did you hear how our text ended today? That as Christ embraced His own spiritual Lent, as our Lord Jesus Christ endured His own persecution and temptation, as He embodied the fast to grow in His holy communion with the Father, did you hear what He also embraced? That as our text ended, in verse 10 it says, that Jesus said, "Away from me, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." Friends, Lent is a time to give up the things of the world that may hold us hostage, so that we may embrace more fully, as Jesus Christ did, our worship and service of our Lord above. For we do that, and we know more fully the joy and life found in our Savior, so that we can share Him with the world around us. To God be the glory in our Lenten journey, and every day as we journey as ambassadors and givers of God's grace. Amen.